This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, yeah, it is. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio, it is a world of news. In a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I was just on the phone with Nicole talking about the Fastest 15, and I heard the friendliest delivery driver ever make a delivery to you while we were talking.
He was very nice.
Who'd he work for? We should give a shout-out to his company.
That was a FedEx guy.
Man, because I know a lot of delivery drivers listen to our show as you make your rounds. We love you guys and gals. And if you're a FedEx delivery driver up in Nicole's new neighborhood, which we won't mention because of stalker possibilities, but what a friendly guy.
He even guessed my package was and was happy for me. I'm getting a new phone, and he was happy for me. I felt like.
Yeah,
very sweet.
He sounded genuinely excited for you. And I was thinking, that's the way you go through a work day. Guys like that, where just make it. You could just leave it on the porch. You could just hit the doorbell. But first of all, you don't want to be leaving phones outside if there is somebody who can receive it. And then secondly, why not be like that guy and just be super cheerful and notable? So I was just very, but you know what? I've noticed that about most delivery people. They're very nice and conversational. I love talking to the people who make deliveries to our house.
It's, it probably helps that it's such a sunny day out. It's such a nice day.
It's spectacular. Okay, before I do anything else, I want to play a little music for you. I will tell you, I am not the biggest fan of Van Morrison. I recognize his greatness. It's just not my cup of tea, his music. Until now, Van Morrison has released a new song, and it is in such stark contrast to what we're hearing from our politicians and from most people in Hollywood who just, you know, carry the water for our politicians. So I want to share with you just a little bit of a new song from Van Morrison here.
No more lockdown, no more government overreach, no more fascist bullies disturbing our peace. No more taking of our freedom and our God-given rights, pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave. Who's running our country? Who's running our world? Examine it closely and watch it unfurl. No more lockdown, no more threats, no more Imperial College scientists making up crooked facts.
It's like it was my big lead today.
No more lockdown.
The song. No more government overreach, no more taking of our freedom, pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave. Who's running our country? Who's running our world? Examine it closely and watch it unfurl. No more Imperial College scientists making up crooked facts. No more lockdown. The only problem with the song is it's 5 minutes long, and that little 3 or 4 chord piano thing, dun, 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 dun. It never changes. It is that for all 5 minutes of the song.
No more celebrities telling us what we're supposed to feel. No more status quo. Put your shoulder to the wind. No
there you go. No More Lockdown, Van Morrison's new song. I like it. I like the lyrics. I like somebody who's daring to speak up about the overreach and the phony facts and everything else. And I mentioned this last hour. So am I leaving anything out, Nicole? We got the governor of California told people don't eat in restaurants, and then he went and ate in a restaurant. The mayor of Denver told people don't travel right before he flew to Mississippi to have Thanksgiving with his daughter. And there, weren't there some others, like the Philly mayor told people you can't eat at restaurants, and then he went to Jersey so he could eat at a restaurant?
Yep, he did. That might have been a couple weeks ago or a month ago.
That was, yeah. Mm-hmm. But now the latest. Los Angeles County Supervisor Sheila Kuhl. She's Kuhl. She voted yesterday to ban outdoor dining in Los Angeles County. And right after she cast that vote, she went to her favorite Italian restaurant called Il Forno and dined outside there. And it's almost like they're doing this just to mess with us. Just to show us how much better they are than us. And it also proves that they don't believe a word they're telling us about the health necessity of closing gyms and closing schools, of not traveling, don't eat in a restaurant, don't eat outside a restaurant. And I will tell you, man, there are so many people who have completely bought in. I'm looking at the text messages because I was talking about this last hour. Oh, here's a nice one from the 425. You are an idiot, and I really hope COVID puts you 6 feet under.
Wow.
So here's a person.
Or that person is having a worse day than my FedEx guy.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Here's a person who spends his life listening on the radio to somebody that they wish were dead.
Right.
That's a bad way to spend your life. That's one of the most pathetic spending of times that I've ever heard. Okay, here's down in Los Angeles. Here's the commissioner explaining her vote to ban outdoor dining.
And then there's the issue of the 6 foot distance. It's a bit of magical thinking on everyone's part to think that at any restaurant, anywhere, the server keeps a 6 foot distance from the table where he or she is taking an order. So the servers are not protected from us, and they're not protected from their other six tables that they're serving at that particular time, plus all of the hours in which they're working. So it is a most dangerous situation for them.
So that was her yesterday afternoon when she cast the vote to ban outdoor dining. Then she goes straight from that to a restaurant where she sat at a table and dined. And of course she got busted for it.
Evidently not dangerous enough for the supervisor to get a final restaurant visit in before the ban went into effect on Wednesday. Her spokeswoman telling us, quote, she did dine al fresco Forno on the very last day it was permissible. She loves Il Forno and has been saddened to see it, like so many restaurants, suffer from a decline in revenue. She ate there, taking appropriate precautions, and sadly will not dine there again until our public health orders permit.
So in other words, she doesn't believe a word she says herself. She does not believe that closing restaurants is going to have a positive impact on public health because she violated that vote just an hour later. It's about control. That's all this is about. Shutting down the economy, shifting from a private sector economy to a government-run Marxist economy. That's what this is about. Let's destroy all the small businesses. Let's destroy the middle class. Let's make people dependent on government. Jay Inslee can't keep any of his lives straight anymore. And so you got to start asking the question what this is really about. And I'm telling you, I know what it's about. Then you have Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who, man, he is in the spotlight. He's a finalist for Time Man of the Year. Person of the Year. Sorry. He's a finalist for that. He's getting all this love, even though more people have died under his watch than any governor in the country. But he's just milking this for all of that.
Now, the mindset for the holiday season, all right, we're now all happy and cheery, and we're going to come together, and we're doing gift buying, and we're going to do holiday celebrations. We're going to start to have meals together. The family's coming back together, for they're all coming home. Religious celebrations during the holiday season. Yeah, COVID is the Grinch. Think of it that way. And the COVID Grinch is an opportunist. And the COVID Grinch sees this as the season of viral transmission. All those things that the holiday season brings, they all increase social activity, they all increase mobility, and they will all increase viral transmission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're supposed to believe that, right? You're the guy who sent people with COVID into nursing homes, killing thousands of people, and you know what's best. You know the church is bad. You know that family celebrations are now bad. They're all super spreader events. And then government gets even more control. It's fascinating. I love this. Every morning, Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN, he has a conference call with some of his top lieutenants. And you may recall, there was some CNN audio that's been leaked the last couple of months. Nobody's really sure of the source, but CNN has become just a political operative arm of the Democratic Party. Well, expect to have some explosive audio drop this evening, because James O'Keefe, who's with Project Veritas, they've done a bunch of undercover videos at abortion clinics and elsewhere. One of Jeff Zucker's lieutenants gave James O'Keefe and Project Veritas the number to call in for the daily conference call. For 2 months, O'Keefe has been not only calling in, but recording all of the conversations. He's releasing the audio this evening, or the best of that audio, but he's been recording their conversations for 2 months. And today, he let Jeff Zucker know. He was on the conference call, as he has been for the last couple of months. But instead of staying on mute, James O'Keefe took his phone off mute and told Jeff Zucker what's about to happen to CNN.
You're unmuted.
Hey, Jeff Zucker, you there? Hey, this is James O'Keefe. We've been listening to your CNN calls for basically 2 months, recording everything. Just wanted to ask you some questions if you have a minute. Do you still feel you're the most trusted name in news? Because I have to say, from what I've been hearing on these phone calls, I don't know about that. I mean, we got a lot of recordings that indicate you're not really that independent of a journalist.
Your comments. So everybody, in light of that, I think what we'll do is we'll set up a new system, and we'll be back with you. We'll do the rest of the call a little bit later.
We're going to release those recordings today at 7 o'clock, so stay tuned. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. So you just heard me talk to the president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, and inform him that that we are going to release a number of recordings today. I unmuted myself into the conference line, and they're still on there. They're listening to me right now.
I am looking forward to hearing what's on those tapes.
when they're released at, I guess it'll be 4 o'clock Pacific time, when they get released, we will get them and we'll boil it all down for you on the big show tomorrow. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. So a few months ago, when all the hair cutters were closed, we talked on air, Nicole, about the possibility of me getting a Flowbee, which was heavily advertised back in the, I think it was the 70s, maybe the 80s. But the Flowbee, it's a clipper that attaches to your vacuum hose. The hose sucks your hair straight out from your scalp, and then the clipper cuts it at, you know, the same length, because the hair has been, you know, sucked straight from your scalp. And everybody made fun of me, but I went online and I was looking at Flowbees. My wife was thinking I should get a Flowbee because my hair was out of control. I don't even remember what your position was on me getting a Flowbee. Were you for it or against?
Oh, I thought it'd be entertaining for sure. I thought it'd be hard to find, but yes.
And they were. They were sold out. My wife actually looked, and the first place we looked, they were sold out. But they were just a joke, everyone thought, because, you know, Flowbee. But now we find out that the sexiest man in the world, George Clooney, tells CBS that he has cut his own hair with a Flowbee for years.
And have you been cutting your own hair?
I've been cutting my own hair for 25 years.
So it has nothing to do with quarantine?
No. Look, I have my hair's like really like straw, you know, and so it's easy to cut. You can't really make too many mistakes. So years ago, I bought a thing called a Flowbee, which when we
you
were
did
kid,
not.
When I was a kid, yeah.
The infomercial, the Flowbee.
This ingenious device lets you give yourself and family perfect haircuts every time.
Yes. It comes with a vacuum cleaner and the clippers? Yeah, I still have it.
Stop it. You don't use it.
My haircuts take literally 2 minutes. I go,
is this Flowbee?
Yeah, it's Flowbee.
That is awesome.
Yeah, listen, man, it works.
Do you think,
I think,
Nicole,
that's the coolest thing I've heard.
Do you think if I get a Flowbee that people will be able to tell me apart from George Clooney?
Oh, that's a great question.
That's a bad answer. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Story's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Oh, it's Tuesday. That means it's time for a visit from Dave Wyman. Our buddy drops by next here on the Dory Monson Show. Smokey Robinson, you wonder? Smokey Robinson.
Smokey Robinson, is it?
It's Tuesday afternoon, and Dave Wyman joins us for his weekly visit. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. You're fresh off calling another Seahawk victory last night. Now they've got they got some easy games coming up.
Dory, they're never easy. There's no easy games.
Are.
No.
The Giants and the Jets? Come on.
You know what?
Jets
You're falling
more.
Into a trap, mister. Don't you fall into that trap.
If it all happens, because it's starting to get really interesting, because, you know, football's tried to plow through the whole coronavirus. So they were going to play the Steelers-Ravens game on Sunday. Then it got postponed to today, and now it's been postponed again to tomorrow. Is that right?
I believe so. Yes, Wednesday, because today's Tuesday. I'm trying to get my days right. We had a Thursday game and then a Monday game and a bunch of days off. But now, and I heard that, you know, the Ingram, the running back for Baltimore, might actually not fly with the team but fly there tomorrow or something. So I think they're going to try to find a way to get that in.
What, it seems like this is becoming such a growing problem. There are more and more college football games getting canceled every weekend because of the virus, which, again, if you're young and healthy, you don't have much to worry about with it, but they still can't let them play with it, quite obviously. Some more college games are getting canceled. NFL games are getting dramatically postponed for several days. Then what was the deal with the Denver Broncos on Sunday?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance, actually, to look that. I just know that they had to go and play with just a receiver playing quarterback. And, yeah, you know, here's the thing I think that is there's lots of finger wagging and scolding of, you know, certain teams about the way that they've done things. And I feel like you could do everything right and still have a problem. You know, it's not like, you know, and I feel like the NFL and Roger Goodell are kind of doing that. Like, you know, they're fining people. I mean, look, these guys go out there, they smash into each other, they're breathing all over one another, and then they go into the locker room and they have a celebration and people aren't wearing masks and there's a camera that catches that and they get fined for that. It doesn't make any sense.
No. It does, and so, and then the latest that I heard is they're thinking about doing what the NBA did for its season and doing the playoffs in a bubble where the teams would be confined to a hotel and quarantined, not have any outside contact, and man, that just, I know that, you know, it worked for the NBA, but just the idea of being without your family for, you know, it could be as much as 5 weeks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That'd be a tough stretch, I would think.
It is. And that's the thing. I mean, that, you know, it's just, look, I get what they're trying to do and everything, but I mean, people need people and they need their families. So, you know, and then if you, I mean, at a certain point, you have to look at what kind of risk am I willing to take? You know, and so that part is very kind of confusing. And I just think it's going to become more and more where, you know, people just the effects of that, you know, are worse. The effects of the lockdown. And you're seeing all kinds of evidence that suicides and overdoses and all kinds of things that are they're worse than the risk and the results that you're getting from the coronavirus. So it's something everybody's trying to, I don't have all the answers, you know, but I kind of have a feeling that this is going to cause a lot of harm for a long time. So that's kind of what I've been concerned with. But, you know, look, I think the NFL, you talk about college football, the NFL is going to get theirs in, I think, you know, because it's run by capitalists instead of bureaucrats. And the bureaucrats are running college football. And, they, you know, they're dealing with kids who aren't professionals, aren't getting paid. So, you know, I think that makes it a little bit different for college. And whereas the NFL is, you know, grown men who are, you know, they want to get their season in. They want to make their money. They want to make sure that they don't disrupt their season. So they're going to find a way to do it, and they have enough money to do it.
Well, and the Seahawks certainly look like a team that could be a Super Bowl contender this year. I mean, there are a couple other good teams in the NFC, but another win last night is this. You've seen every Seahawks Super Bowl. Do you think this is a Super Bowl team?
It just depends on the defense, you know, and I mean, that's a great question, Dory. I think the defense needs to continue to prove that what they can do. And, you know, this, to me, this team is not, you know, it's not quite there yet. And then, you know, last night you saw, boy, they had a difficult time trying to move the ball, that front seven from, you know, Philly. And that's what you're talking about, playing all these terrible teams. I mean, I didn't know that their front seven was that good. But then also you can look at it from the standpoint of, well, maybe we just made them look good. But their front seven from Philadelphia really got after the Seahawks. So, you know, it's not like we've seen just these dominant wins either. So, I mean, this was a good win, but it was still a one-score win in the end because of a Hail Mary. But, Yeah, I think New Orleans is a team that looks interesting to me. If they can get Breeze back, especially, but they play really good defense, and really the whole thing, if you beat all these teams, nobody's really going to care if you beat the Washington football team and the Giants and the Jets. It's the Ram game that's waiting on the other side of this string of, you know, not great opponents.
Yeah. Okay, got it. All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Dave Wyman. I have a lot of other stuff. I bet Nicole knows this one. It sounds like it has a country tinge.
Yeah, there's a little twang there.
I'll just take a wild
Dolly
I'll
Park.
Take a wild guess. Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Nicole, you're on.
Yeah, you're
Faith
on.
Hill.
Faith Hill is correct.
Wow. For the first time ever, Dave Wyman has fallen to third place. Name that artist. All right, we'll continue our conversation with Dave as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Green Day.
Ooh, that's close. I mean, Green Day's right. You guys are close.
Who won it? Because with the delay, I clearly heard myself before Dave.
Sounded like, Dory, you came in by a hair first.
Wow. That's exciting. Will you check the replay? Just because I don't want a phony win.
It's a dead heat.
Yes. May have been. So I was thinking the other day, Dave. I don't know why this popped into my head. It was because of I was thinking about you on Thanksgiving. You never sent me a picture of your post-Thanksgiving sandwich. That was very disappointing.
I'm sorry. You did.
Did you, sent you me one. Get my picture?
I did. You wrote a little note on there with, I think, cranberry sauce, was it?
No, it's barbecue sauce.
Oh.
Yeah.
You put barbecue sauce on your turkey?
Yeah. I put barbecue sauce on everything.
Oh.
I found the best barbecue sauce.
It's like me with ketchup.
It's locally made. It's called Loco Lolo. I highly recommend it. I don't have an endorsement deal with them. I just want to spread the word. It's delicious.
Supporting a small business. That's good. Small,
yes. Local business. Available at Double D Meats in Mount Lake Terrace and made in Linwood. And Linwood is known as the barbecue sauce capital of America, you know.
That's what I think when I think of Linwood.
But anyway, you would always write me messages in mustard on your post-Thanksgiving sandwich. And the mouth to my barbecue sauce, it was a large mouth, so I couldn't pour out letters. So I actually took a toothpick and kept dipping it in and painted "Hi Dave" on the bread so I could send it to you. And I realized, my wife said, "Aren't you guys like almost 60?
Yeah, I think one year I had a "I Heart Dory" that I spelled out with mustard, the squeezable mustard. But I hate to disappoint you, but I did actually write something on bread. But my daughter looked on Twitter, and there was some guy named Jay Suave or something was his Twitter handle. And he tweeted out that he followed my recipe to a T and that it was really good. He said it was dank or something like that, which I think is good.
Dank like a dank. Cellar?
D-A-N-K.
I don't think you want to be dank.
Yeah, I don't know what the kids are saying these days. But I wrote out his little name and took a picture of it, and my daughter tweeted it back to him. So I did send a message to somebody, just not you this time. But
wait, you sent a message to Jay Suave, but not to me?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's
I wanted to
painful.
Be on Twitter. No, but I think I had the last – well, I had the last one last night. Like, I've eaten it every day and twice, I think, on Saturday or Sunday. But, yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. I used up all my gravy now, so now I'm back to just eating normal food.
Good for you. Yeah. It sounds like a good run, though.
It's a good run.
Sounds like
a
good, healthy run with that gravy. As I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about you and food. I want you
and I'm going to make this a public plea to you. I want you to bring back the tradition you tried to start of getting friends together for the Final Four and flying in deep dish pizza from Chicago.
Right. That's right. You know, except I think the thing we were missing is you need a pizza oven to make, because they send it to you raw. What was that deep dish place called even when we went there in Chicago?
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and they freeze it, and then they send to you in a freezer pack. But I was thinking, after
James,
we get past
James
this
Brown.
Whole...
You got it.
Nice. Dave's on the board. Now, after we get past this pandemic, Dave, we got to get back to social things and restoring some traditions. And I'm going to count on you. I'm going to lean on you heavily for some of that, okay?
Good. We need to do that, man. I mean, and you've always been so great at having, like, the pregame crew and everybody over to your house. What do we do? NFC Championship.
Yeah.
That's a great weekend. Sometimes we'll just go out there, hang out, play hoops. But, we got to get that back. I miss it, man. I miss having people around and... You know, I think we're all suffering because of it. So, once this thing gets over with, we'll get it done.
This is some good goal setting we just did. You can hear Dave every afternoon, 2 to 7, but listen to my show for the 2 o'clock hour and tune into him at 3 on 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks, Dave. Big
all
League
right.
2 coming
Thanks
up next.